A New Beginning, Part 11, The Empathy of Our Founder. We've been talking about the nature of our founder, and we do so because we can't be true followers of Jesus unless we walk in his ways. And there is one passage of Scripture that is like no other. Of all the chapters in the Bible, this one chapter gives us a better glimpse into the empathy of Jesus than any other. It's John chapter 11. If you don't know it, you're in for a great blessing. If you do know it, you know it's a chapter you can read over and over again and never exhaust the wonder of it and the comfort of it. I'll read a portion of it as background, then make some commentary as we go along with the rest of the chapter. It begins in verse 1 of John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you were going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he'd said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. Now for some commentary. Jesus saw her weeping. He saw her grief. It was not nothing to him. He is the very Son of God, heir to the universe, and has lots of great and grand things on his mind, but not now. Not when he sees his beloved one's grief. He sees her as if he had nothing else in all the world to look at. But it's not just her grief he sees. He sees our grief, our weeping, our tears, our sighing, our fears, our distress, our pain. He watches over his beloved ones as if he has nothing else in the world to do, before we even say a word to him about it. He sees it. But more than just seeing, next it says, he was deeply moved. That's the NIV. The King James Version says, he groaned. Not an outward sound of a groaning, but an inward turmoil, an inward groaning. The heart of Jesus is a deep well. He's deeply moved by our sorrows, our troubles, our injuries, our sicknesses, our pains, our loss, our anxiety, our discouragements. But not only that, it says he was deeply moved in spirit. He's moved to the very core of his being. Then it says, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Mary was troubled. So Jesus troubled himself with her trouble. As it says in Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all their distress, he too was distressed. Jesus is troubled to his very heart and soul and spirit. And now he takes action. He says, where have you laid him? They answer, come and see, Lord. Then it says, in what is my personal favorite verse in the entire Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. So rich, so meaningful are those two precious words, Jesus wept. Wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, and yet I know of none packed with more meaning. Jesus wept, weeping with those who weep, identifying with those suffering loss, feeling our sorrow. He so identifies with the grief of Mary and Martha and the others that he sees weeping, that even though he knows it's just temporary, because he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, yet he still weeps at their sorrow. And it says in verse 38, once more deeply moved, Jesus came to the tomb. And you can read the rest. He raised Lazarus from the grave and gave him back to his sisters. So no matter how dark the valley, even if it's the valley of the shadow of death itself, the very compassionate shepherd always brings us to good pasture. And two things, at least, we can take away from this. One, knowing the empathy of Jesus, it should encourage us to go to him with all our sorrows, disappointments, pains, sickness, weakness, for he is not just the provider of our comfort. He is the very provision itself. Jesus wants to fill all our empty places with his love and compassion and his very presence. However deep we think our sorrow to be, his love is deeper still. And we can climb into that love and let that love swallow up our sorrow. 2, knowing how empathetic our Lord is, how can we be otherwise? I'll close with this quote from J.C. Ryle. Even the Son of God could weep. It shows us above all that the Savior in whom believers trust is a most tender and feeling Savior. Let us remember these things in daily life and never be ashamed of walking in our Master's footsteps. Tears of compassion well become Christians and make them more resemble Christ. Let us strive to be men and women of a tender heart and a sympathizing spirit. Well would it be for the church and the world if there were more Christians of this stamp and character. The church would be far more beautiful, and the world would be far more happy. More on the nature of our founder next week. I've found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay, and he tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I've all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. There's a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.